How are y'all guys doing? Happy Easter! He is risen. Come on. I put that over everything because I'm excited about today. I love Easter. This is such a great day. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. On a clerical note, the business meeting for next Sunday, if you'd like an agenda for that, is available right here on the front pew. You can pick that up if you're a member here. Just so that you have that, we're supposed to let you guys know a week in advance what we're going to be talking about. So we're going to start out, we're going to continue in our Genesis series. And I know you're like, this is Easter. This should be talking from some other book, not Genesis. Well, I'll tie it in. Give me a little bit of time, but we're going to start out with the flood. What a joyous topic to begin with. We have gotten here to Genesis chapter 7 through the weeks, and Noah has just sit there and built this huge ark, and we talked about how massive that was last week and what an undertaking that would be. And we also talked about how Noah just did. You know, because of his faith, he had already built faith in God. He had already followed God for 500 years before that point. And when God came and said, build this ark, as crazy as it was, and if he came to me, I'd be like, I would be beside myself. But Noah just did it, and he trusted God with it. So we pick up in Genesis 7, and it says, the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. You shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, a male and his female, and of the animals that are not clean, two, a male and his female. Also of the birds of the sky by sevens, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will send rain on the earth. 40 days and 40 nights, I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made. It's kind of heavy. And this is God's plan, and this is God talking. And Noah knows that God can do this. He knows that he is a God that has the power to completely back up his statements and his word. So Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. That was a smart move, wasn't it? It was like, we're going to destroy the earth. I had a plan for you. Okay. Just don't destroy me, right? So now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the water came upon the earth. Then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood. Of clean animals and animals that are not of clean, and of birds and everything that creeps on the ground. There went into the ark to Noah by twos, male and female, and God had commanded Noah. It came about after the 7 days that the water of the flood came. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were open. The rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and for 40 nights. I mean, this is some detail. This is some detail that God has given Moses in some way when he writes all this down in Genesis. God's saying, this is exactly what happened, and I need you to know that, and there's a reason I need you to know that. It's because I'm serious about sin. People need to know this story. This was God's judgment on the earth because there was no one righteous but Noah to be found in his world. There was just evil. There was corruption. And this is where we've gotten to. This was man's reaction to God. Man's reaction to God, instead of loving God, instead of serving God, instead of humbling himself before God, man's reaction to God was to reject him and say, my way. And we see where that led. Murder. We saw, you know, just a horrible society. You know, there was another reaction that we had towards God. And it was when Jesus came to this earth. What did we end up doing with Jesus? We crucified him. We rejected him. That was man's reaction the second time. God approaches us about our issues, right? So on the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his son with him entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind and all the cattle after their kind and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and after its kind and every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds. So they went in the ark to Noah by twos of all flesh, which was the breath of life. In other words, the fish and things like that, that's not what's included in this. We're talking about land animals. We're talking about the kinds of land animals. We talked about that last week. It wasn't every single animal on the earth, but it was the kinds that would then allow the earth to be populated. Entered as God commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him. So listen, Noah didn't lock himself up in the ark. God had to miraculously lock up that ark to survive what was coming. That ark was a majestic thing. It was amazing, I'm sure. But I guarantee you, when you're talking about the fountains of the deep bursting open, we're talking some crazy stuff going on in the world, that little ark would not have survived anything like that. God's judgment would be final, and the only way through God's judgment was to depend on who? God. So God locks him up, closes the door, and makes sure that Noah and his family are safe because he needed a lineage to lead to Christ. And that's what we're celebrating today. There was a lineage that led up to this event today that we're celebrating, which is Easter. It says, then the flood came on the earth for 40 days, and the water increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. The water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. The water prevailed more and more upon the earth so that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. So Mount Everest, I think that's the highest. Okay, 29,000 feet. Add 20 feet to that. That's how deep the floodwaters were. But where did all that come from? You know, God? God created the world. He can create a flood. You know? And this is what we're looking at. We're looking at complete destruction of the world. The water cubits higher, and the mountains were covered. All flesh that moved on the earth perished. Birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth and all mankind. Of all that was on the dry land, all things with nostrils with the breath of the spirit of life died. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things, the birds of the sky. They were blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left, together with those who were with him in the ark. The water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Again, complete destruction. You can imagine what the people who were living at that time were thinking when that was going on, what they were experiencing, the fear, the terror. You know, you start seeing this flood start happening, violent flood, and you start trying to figure out, how am I going to escape this? You know, some of them might have been strong swimmers. Some of them might have had some boats they had built to cross rivers, but nothing survives. So when we talked about, you know, last week we talked about the Nephilim and whether or not they didn't survive the flood. Nothing survived except for Noah and his family by the grace of God. Some people in this world would like to deny the flood, but there's proof of the flood, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'd love to spend like days talking about this because to me there's a lot of proof for the global flood. But when Lily and I were walking the other day, we were walking on our nature trail, and we came across a carcass that was on the ground of a deer that had been degrading. And all that was left of that deer were some skinny little rib bones, and they had even degraded. Okay, see, that's what happens when animals die. They go onto the earth and they just kind of disintegrate. They get eaten by predators. This is just what happens. And we can see that all over the world. But yet, science has discovered all of this evidence of these fossilized bones all over the world. They're everywhere. They're graveyards of animals. How does that happen? How does a dinosaur that's 30 feet tall get buried in mud? Because that's what it takes to become a fossil. Where does that much mud come from? Where does the pitch come from, the carbon content come from that actually creates that process? Where does the pressure come from that creates that process? See, science, it's always been a question mark. Sometimes they're like, well, there's local flooding that might come through. Have you ever seen a local flood bury 30-foot dinosaurs? No. We don't see that. Even tsunamis, when they come through, they don't leave fossils. They bury entire cities, but they don't leave fossils. Okay, it just not happens. There's very specific things that create fossils, yet we have them everywhere. And when I say graveyards, they are graveyards. They are literally headstones representing the flood that God sent on this earth. You look at Dinosaur National Monument. This is a place in Utah. Okay, this is a wall there. That's a bunch of dinosaur bones. I know you can't see it very clearly on our screen. There's 1,500 bones just in that wall. Think about how many animals had to die just to create that one wall. And yet, there's 210,000 acres in Dinosaur National Monument. 210,000 acres of dinosaur graveyard. And we're expected to believe that it's just because they fell in some mud and they got covered over time. No. I'm telling you right now, God left evidence of what he did. Bone Cabin Quarry, Alberta, Canada, Agate Springs, Ashley Beds, Karoo Formation, Mongolian Fossil Beds, Gobi Desert, Tanzania, Belgium, all massive fossil beds all over the world of animals buried. And when you look at these animals, some of them, you can tell they were buried in terror. Some of them are they're fighting each other still. Some of them are still eating each other. I mean, this was a flash moment. And when you look at what the Bible describes and you say what evidence would be there, which would back this up, that's exactly what you would want to see. You'd see a bunch of animals buried all over the world in all different places because the whole world was covered in water. So again, people say that didn't happen. Science especially, they want to take those things and they want to tell their own stories about them, rationalize them away, but their stories don't fit the data. There's also flood stories of humans saved from the universal destruction of water all over the world. Okay? All over the world. Those three things are in common. First of all, there was a flood story. Second of all, it was universal, meaning it destroyed the whole world. And third of all, it was the destruction of man. Man was saved in some way through that destruction, but man got wiped out. It's a common story through all of these generations. And again, there's the empires, a list of empires up there, the Assyrio-Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Syrian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Egypt, Italy, Hawaii, Lithuania, Russia, China, India, Cree Nations, this is Indian tribes, Cherokee, Aztecs, Peruvian, Leeward Islands, all these people have the same story. That the earth was destroyed and that somehow man was saved through it. Because God's judgment was brutal. It left an impact on this world. 2 Peter 3 says, 3:3, verse 3, says, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this,'" listen, "'it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed. being flooded with water. So what escapes their notice? What are they forgetting about? They're forgetting about the flood, the judgment of God upon the world. Okay? That's why they're scoffing. That's why they're mocking. But by the word, the present heavens and the earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. See, they're scoffing and mocking, and what they don't realize and what they overlook is the fact that Jesus is coming again. And we talked about this last week, that judgment is coming again, isn't it? And that God sent the flood, right? And the ark was that way through that judgment. But this time, Jesus is the way through the judgment. His death, and we talked about that last week, is the way that we can escape judgment. Through his death, he did what only God could do. Only God could save us from this. We're too broken. We couldn't live a perfect life. If we got through all of this and all of a sudden Jesus was like, you know, I'm not God, he couldn't save us. He would have no power to save us. But guess what? Jesus Christ was God. Who was crucified on that cross was God incarnate. Philippians 2 says in verse 5, have the attitude in yourself which was in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, he didn't need to grasp God. He was God. Right? But he emptied himself. This is how it happened, guys. This is what Jesus did for us. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant. Think about that word bond servant. What is a bond servant? It's somebody who owes something to somebody and they have to work it off. Well, Jesus took our debt and he worked that out through his sacrifice. He became a bond servant for us. And being made in the likeness of men, but being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There was no point on that cross where Jesus could not have changed his mind. Through all the pain that he went through, you think about all the suffering that was in the judgment, all of God's wrath on the world. Well, we see that in the sacrifice of Jesus. And he took it all, and the whole time, as much as he was a human, he felt the pain. Yes, sir. He loved us enough to push through that and to go through with it. And that's who we celebrate today, isn't it? And the reason he could do that, the reason he could do that was because he was God. That's the only reason his sacrifice means anything. If he was just a human, the sacrifice would have meant nothing. But because he was God, it changes things. Just like Noah needed God to escape judgment, we need Jesus Christ to escape the coming judgment that's there. He's offered it to us. Hallelujah, right? Acts 2:23, it says, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of a godless man and put him to death. Again, God, here's a godless man again, just like in the flood. And what did we do with God? We nailed him to a cross. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. That's how it works. Satan may have thought he won. It might have been like celebration. Woo, we crucified God. We put him in his place. All these people are worshiping me. I love this. They're doing exactly what I want them to do. But then he didn't realize something. He had no claim on Jesus Christ. He had no power over Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's God. He was perfect. There was no sin in him. Just love and forgiveness. Oh, man. And so we come to Easter. We have this huge sacrifice, Jesus cannot be contained. Think about all the people around him when he was being crucified, all the evil that was around him. And, you know, there's two or three people there that even acknowledged who he was, that got it, that were so confused. And in those moments, all the disciples fled. They left him, and they were confused, and they were like, what are we going to do here? John 20. We're going to read through this. This is a beautiful story, guys. And I want you to think about who's coming to this tomb. Where are they mentally when they're coming to this tomb? They think they've lost. They think they've lost. It says right here that they forgot what Jesus told them. They forgot what all the prophets had prophesied. They're hopeless. They're hopeless, right? There's a lot of people in our world today that are hopeless, that need this message. It says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb. While it was still dark, and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, that's John, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So they're like, oh, they stole his body. What happened? Right? Talking about freaking out. They're already hopeless, and now we don't even have a body. Okay, and for a Hebrew person, a Jewish person, that was not a good thing. So Peter and the other disciples went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in its place by itself. So the other disciple who had come first to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. What did he believe? He didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. He believed that the body was gone. Okay? This is what they're thinking in their head. Because they had forgotten. It says right here, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him. When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. What a moment. What a moment. That is the God that we serve. He came back. The hope that fills her in this moment, you think about that. It says, and then he says, stop clinging to me, for I'm not yet descended, but go and tell my brethren, because he wants her to go and give hope to the people he loves. His disciples waiting for him. See, there is hope. And the only reason we have hope is because of the day that we're celebrating today. Because he rose. He didn't just die for our sins. He rose. And if Jesus Christ can rise from the dead and defeat death, what does that mean for us? Because Jesus Christ said, if you believe in me, you will never die. So if there's hope, I can have that hope. through Jesus. And we need to understand that. That his resurrection is proof that he can do what he said he would do for us. That's what we saw up there today. How amazing is that? A picture of what God is doing in us when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And that is an open invitation to anybody in this room and in this world. The coming judgment's going. The ark has been built through Jesus' sacrifice. He's risen from the dead. And there is a lot of hope to be had. And there's a lot of people in this world who need it. Philippians 2, verse 9 continues, because we already read the first part of this. For this reason also God highly exalted him, because he humbled himself, and he died for us, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I promise you, everybody in this room will stand before God and confess this on your knees.
Yes.
We're going to get it one day. We're really going to get it. It's going to be revealed to us. That's what Corinthians says. Now we see in part, right? But then we're going to see fully when we get to heaven. And God's going to reveal this stuff. And let me ask you, is Jesus your Lord?
Yes.
Because that is exactly where Jesus should be in your life. He should be your Lord. Because that's what he is. He died for us. He died to bring us hope. And if we follow him, we can take part in that. Our salvation is in Christ being the Lord of our life. Genesis 8:1. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark, and God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. See, the judgment will end one day, just like it did with Noah. There's going to be a kingdom on the other side of that judgment that we get to be a part of. And it's going to be glorious. And Jesus is going to be reigning as Lord. Amen. Let me pray real quick. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for Easter and what we celebrate. Thank you for coming and giving yourself for us. We just praise you for the power that you have over death. We ask that you help us to bring that hope to other people. Help us to hang on to that hope that we have in you. I just pray that everybody in this room makes you Lord. If there's anybody in this room today that needs to know you, God, I just pray that you speak to them so loudly. You're so amazing. I just pray that you embolden them to come before your throne and put you in the right place. Let's pray if there are Christians in this room that have accepted you but are not totally given over to you, have not made you complete Lord of their life. Let's pray that they make that decision today. Speak to them. Convict them. So that we can get about your business, spreading that hope to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.